This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hooray!
Oh, so good.
Oh, my God, it's so good. It's encapsulating time. And now Mac Jones is on the Niners.
Nick knew all along that Kyle Shanahan couldn't quit one McCorkle Jones.
Oh, I
Nick,
love it.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, guys, it's great to hear y'all's voices. And it's just never going to not make me laugh.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Kelly Oubre. 888-957-9570.
Man, you know what's making us laugh this morning? We're living all these different, like, you know, angles and what ifs, and the amount of history that's taken place between the Warriors and Timberwolves, it's actually kind of crazy. So when you first, like, saw that this is going to be the matchup, what was your first thought? Was it Rudy Gobert and Draymond Green? Was it the Jimmy Butler, right, history with Minnesota? Was it Anthony Edwards and Steve Kerr and the infamous workout? Like, when you first saw it was going to be T-Wolves, Dubs, what went to your mind, Nick?
Spadone, the first thing in my head was, I don't care how many people pick Minnesota, I'm not betting against Steph Curry. I'm just not doing it. And I know there are a lot of angles, and the soap opera is there. And certainly with Jimmy going back to Minneapolis, you know, they're going to be all over him, and they just cannot stand Draymond. There's a lot of fun stuff for fans to get into. But truly, my first thought was, all these people are saying that Minnesota is just going to roll through the Warriors. And I watched that second half the other night in Houston, and I thought, Steph is still Steph. And we know what Jimmy can do, and certainly we know what motivated Draymond can be. I'm just not going to pick against Steph in this spot. And if they do indeed lose and they have to make changes, okay. But that dude is still the baddest dude on the block.
Wow. I mean, I'm a little taken back because I'm trying to give respect to Minnesota and just watching the Warrior team. Maybe I'm too caught up in the moment. I feel like, again, it's not my official prediction, but like, what do I like this morning? Like, I like Timberwolves in six. You know what I mean? Because like, they're rested, they're younger. But hearing you say that, like, is that more of a, I know it's the Steph Curry, because there's obviously the Steph Curry angle, but is there something on Minnesota that like scares you that he can exploit? Is it something specific that you're pointing to?
Joe, you know what? It's just knowing the gravitational pull of that dude on the floor. Gotcha. And when you watch Houston, I mean, that defensively, they were just all over him most of the time when they were doubling him. And then they took that second guy off and oh, here comes Steph. And he started hitting a bunch of shots. On paper, Minnesota should win this series. They are longer. They are younger. They are definitely more rested, as you mentioned. Ant Edwards looks pretty damn awesome and getting even better. And you would think that they just have too much length and depth to they would overwhelm a Warriors group there, you know, how many guys does Kerr actually trust going into this series to play? I know you all talk about it all the time, but when you watch the end of that Rocket series, you go, I don't know. I mean, Pajimski and Moody were missing all kinds of open shots. Will that be the same in this series? They had no rest. You got to figure they're going to be exhausted. All of that is to say they still have Steph Curry. And when you have that dude playing at the level he's still at, I just find it really, really difficult to bet against them, especially given how many people think that Minnesota is just going to topple the Warriors at this point.
All right, so before I get to the Minnesota-specific portion of his career with Jimmy Butler, you go way back with Jimmy. I know you covered the Bulls for a period of time. You covered Minnesota for a period of time. You've obviously were covering the Warriors, covered the Brooklyn Nets, and I know you were down in South Beach at one time. How long does you and the Jimmy relationship go back, and are you as surprised as we all were that it's been this fruitful?
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Craziest part of this whole story, Joe. The night Jimmy got drafted by the Bulls, we were at the Berto Center, which was their old practice facility. And one of the producers at my old radio station at ESPN 1000 in Chicago, they had Jimmy's number. So Jimmy gets drafted by the Bulls. Immediately, they're calling Jimmy, the Bulls are, trying to get him on the phone, figure out logistics, get him on a conference call with the media in Chicago. Well, he already picked up for our producer in Chicago. So Jimmy's on the radio doing an interview with me and a couple of friends of mine at the station, and he's in tears. Because he's so emotional about his journey, what got him there, being able to get into a team. At that point, Derrick Rose was at the peak of his powers. That was a young, up-and-coming group. He was so excited. So literally, I have known Jimmy Butler since the second he got drafted in the NBA. And I've been with him. That's a major drip.
Please. Thank you for acknowledging
I'm
going to
call you a Super Mario brother. There's so much plumbing problems going on with these drips.
I mean, just absolutely drip, drip, drip. But it's also the truth. And I would tell you this about Jimmy, having watched it all these years in all these different places. If you want to talk about somebody who will raise the level of his own game when his team needs him to the most, that is Jimmy Butler. So, Joe, you were asking, like, well, what's the difference? And the matchups don't look really great. And the size and the length of Minnesota, I don't know. I mean, who are you playing besides Looney? And how long are you playing Looney? All the same questions the three of us have asked forever. The reason I still think the Warriors could do this is not just because of Steph and his greatness. It's because I have watched Jimmy Butler at all these different stops as he continued to get better and better and better and more confident, and that's the huge key, be able to deliver when his team needed it the most. And I think he's up to the challenge right now, and it's why I've always believed, guys, that not only can the Warriors still do some damage this year, and we'll see what happens in this series, I think the window is still open for them next year, because they'll be able to retool the roster around Jimmy more, given that he's only been there still a few months since after that deal.
Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell joining us here on the Morning Roast. And insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. So it's interesting you say that, Nick. It's because it goes back to Steph Curry, and you're not betting against that guy. I understand that. Is it crazy to say, though, that the Warriors might not have the best player overall in this series?
Ooh, now that is a juicy one, Mr. Spadone. Ant Edwards is awesome. His time is coming. It may be here right now, and that will probably be, as far as storylines of this series, is there a little bit of a torch pass possibility if he comes out and just dominates. But as we start this series, if you ask me which guy would I want more right now for this series, give me Steph Curry. Ant Edwards is the guy you'd want to build around. He's the guy that so many people in the league would take right now over anybody because of his age, his talent, the ability to continue to get better and better. Right now, in this moment, give me Steph. He's done it. His teammates know he can carry them when he needs to. He's next to Jimmy, which seems to give the entire team a lift. And he just got a gigantic performance from Buddy Hield, of all people. So Buddy's going to walk into this series going, okay, I can do this. And if the Warriors get some help and Steph is still Steph, that's where I think this can happen for Golden State.
You know, it's so interesting. Like, obviously, Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio get taken in front of Steph Curry. You don't take one, you take two point guards. It's one of the all-time gaffes, right? And now Anthony Slater puts out an article this morning kind of referencing the 2020 draft. And I remember you were covering the team at that time, and the world was paused, and the season was on hold, and the Warriors were going nowhere. And so for like five, six months, this entire station, all we did was talk 2020 draft, 2020 draft, 2020 draft. And now all this information is leaking out. And I remember going back in time, all of the people that were skeptical on Anthony Edwards. Oh, he might want to be a rapper. Well, you know, there's questions about his shot. No, I'm serious.
No, he didn't love basketball. Remember, that was
that
the thing.
Was another
like,
one. Exactly.
I like watching the NFL more than I like watching basketball. Yeah. People got mad at him.
Not that he wasn't talented. It was just like, is he serious enough? Like, we had all these questions. And now Slater puts out an article saying, hey, it wasn't just Joe Lacob who loved Wiseman. He did. But there was consensus. Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, and the veteran players all wanted the Wiseman pick. They wanted the center. They wanted to take that swing for the future. Are you surprised that information has come out now? Are you surprised at that thought process going back then? When I tell you all of that, that's been reported from Anthony Slater, how does that land in your lap?
Joe, the crazy part is, I'd add this part to the Edwards conversation too. Remember, people thought, oh, well, is he really that good if he goes to Georgia and they really don't do anything?
Yes.
Is he going to be able to lift up an NBA team on his own? So there were so many different thoughts. But, yeah, I mean, everybody seemingly thought in that Warriors organization that Wiseman was the guy and that he was the guy that you could plug in around the pieces they already had, specifically at that point, Steph and Draymond, and we weren't sure with Clay. He had just gotten hurt again. And they thought that Wiseman was not only going to be a really strong fit around those guys, that he could develop into being that bridge that they needed. And the truth for the Warriors in that moment is they just whiffed completely. And it happens all the time in the NBA. It happens to the best teams, but it happened there in a major, major way. And the Edwards conversation is interesting as far as revisionist history goes, because people say, oh, Edwards, why didn't they think so highly of him at the moment? Well, you know what? It really didn't matter because Minnesota took him. So the question it becomes, you know, would you have wanted LaMelo and, oh, Halliburton, all the different things that come after that domino effect. But in that moment, absolutely, the Warriors believed that Wiseman was the guy. And if you're looking for reasons why things didn't play out the way that the organization wanted them to over the last few years, don't look any farther than right there. Because he was supposed to be the pick that changed ports of the future and made everything smoother as far as the transition from Steph, Draymond, Clay to the next wave. It didn't happen. They missed, and they're still paying that price because of it.
All right, biggest story in this series. Everyone's talking about it. The memes are out of control. We know. We all know what it is, and we're tiptoeing around it. It's Draymond Green and Rudy Gobert, Nick.
My mom says to me, are they going to fight like you and your brother again in the kitchen? Because the chokehold that Draymond had on Draymond, I mean on Gobert, my mom said me and my brother would do that in the kitchen all the time with each other, fighting over the last bowl of cereal.
Oh, WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes is jealous of that chokehold that he put on Rudy Gobert.
Did he have to drag him halfway across the court?
The game, like, barely, it was like, what, Nick, remember it was like 10 seconds or something in the game? I was getting out of the shower, whatever I was doing, and I was like, wait, what the heck is going on right now? People, like, benches were separated. It's like, this game just started. Like, so the Draymond Green aspect in this series is what?
Spadone, I'd also throw in, as I watched the replay the other night, because, of course, everybody's going to be talking about that, I think the underrated part of that whole clip is Kerr literally telling Draymond, let go. he's looking at him going, this doesn't look so great. Like, let go of him, Draymond. But as far as any conversation with Draymond goes, they just have to hope that he's not going to get pushed into an emotional situation. And I'll give him credit because I'm sitting there watching Game 7 the other night. And he hits those first two threes, and I mean, Carter hit the drip for me again. But Slater and I, going back for years, were always like, "Oh boy, Draymond hits that first three, and he is screaming at the other bench. He is sitting there going, oh, you guys can't touch me. You're going to leave me wide open, guys." Draymond hit those first two shots in Game 7. He didn't say a word. He just played. And that is the best thing that can happen for the Warriors in the next couple weeks. The Timberwolves are going to try to bait Draymond like any other team, and he has the history with Gobert, and he knows how important he is, especially for the younger group, especially for Steph right now at this stage of his career. I know it would be a really, really rough bet to bet on Draymond to keep his head in the game throughout the next couple weeks. But I think that with what's at stake and with the history between the two guys that's already been in place with Ian Gobert, I think he can actually do it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he knows going in, if I lose it, it's all over. And I have no doubt that that's been made clear to him by Kerr and Dunleavy and Steph and all the powers that be. But I think that will be a gigantic key. If Draymond keeps his head in this series, then they've got a legit chance to do it.
All right. You said you rewatched that video and you saw Kerr in the background saying, let him go. When you watch it again, I want you to see, as Draymond's got the chokehold on Gobert, he does the UFC tucking of the chin to keep someone else from choking him out. It was incredible, Nick. I swear to God, like, I could hear Joe Rogan in my voice. Look at him. He's tucking the chin. He's tucking the chin. And so that he couldn't get tapped out. I want you to see that. But I got a bigger question for you. The Jimmy Butler fan fallout in Minnesota. They've got new ownership, A-Rod. It's going to be unbelievable because I love A-Rod. He's super charming.
Oh, God. But I hope he sits next to Joe Hagan.
There's kind of a new vibe, obviously, with Minnesota. They got rid of Karl Anthony Towns. They bring in Julius Randle. But the fans, do the fans still despise Jimmy Butler? And if so, what's it going to feel like in that arena?
The answer is yes. It is jilted lover syndrome deluxe because Jimmy broke up with them. He didn't want to play with Towns. He didn't think that team could win. I think he really liked Wiggins, but at that time he wasn't sure if he was a championship caliber player, and he just quit on that team. He knew he wanted out of there. He wanted Tibbs to trade him. It didn't happen initially early in that season, and he did all the things that he did, which are well documented. As far as tonight and moving forward in Minnesota, fans don't forget. And you know, Joe, it's going to get ramped up even more because it's the playoffs. Mm. People are going to have a few pops before walking into Target Center. They're going to be really pumped up. And they're going to boo the hell out of Jimmy. But I would tell you this, having been around Jimmy from the beginning, there is nothing that the Minnesota fans could do that would make Jimmy Butler happier than if they boo the living you-know-what out of him, because it will make him focus that much more into the situation that he's in. I actually think it'll take some pressure off the Warriors in general, because they're so used to being hated. If Jimmy takes most of that hatred, I think it'll free up a few other guys, and they'll say, all right, we need to be there for him. But absolutely, Minnesota thought that Jimmy was that missing piece, and that if you plug Jimmy next to Towns and Wiggins with Tibbs, that they were going to be where they are right now. It didn't happen. He left. He left in a way that we really haven't seen that much of, at least publicly, where he's just like, yep, I'm out of here, and had to practice and the whole nine yards. But I think that is a real psychological edge for Jimmy, because rare is the time where a crowd will get on him or a city will get on him, and he won't raise the level of his own game and help everybody else around him.
Nick, my wife very rarely listens and never texts me during the show. Right now, you tell Nick I said hi and we miss him. 3 exclamation points. She don't even love me that way,
wow,
doggy.
Wow. Jesus.
Michelle says,
hey,
hi.
Wait a minute. Joe, it's Fedone. Well, hold on now. We know she loves you that much. That's the only way that she could make it through all these years. So let's square that part up right now. But tell her I love her back.
I know.
And at some point here in the future, I hope I'm back around San Francisco.
Let's go.
And come over to the house and see everybody. But
hell yeah,
I miss you guys really bad, for sure.
I love you,
Nick,
pal.
Good stuff, man. We appreciate the time, and we'll definitely talk again in the future in these playoffs, and hopefully the Dubs extend it, because you feel like they're going to win this series. Real quick, how many games?
I mean, if I'm going to pick the worst, I'm going to take them in 7, because like everybody else, I don't think it can go any less than that if you've got the Warriors rolling. But I do think they can find a way, because you cannot bet against number 30.
There you go. And I'm not betting against Nick Friedell, baby. Nick,
let's go.
Thanks, man. We appreciate the time.
I love you guys. I'll see you later.
There he goes. That was Odyssey NBA, Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider Calls brought to you by